Okay, so I wanted to just for a moment. Well, first of all, are these slides of any use at all? If they're of use, hold up your hand. Of any use, you won't hurt my feelings if they're not. Okay, then I'm going to do just a few more slides, and then we're going to do another short walk, and then we're going to finish with a sit. So, if I could have the number six. Let me make sure of that before I tell you that. I kind of lost my confidence about the slides. So yes, number six, please. So this felt sense that in this natural arising, naturally arising approach, the felt sense, as I said last night and this morning, is kind of essential. The felt sense is the actual physical embodiment of experience. It's noticing it as an energetic experience. So it's energy that it registers. That's an energetic experience. And tomorrow we're going to be much more in knowing it as subtle energy. But right now I'm talking about the kind of regular energetic experience when we're in the felt sense of it rather than just the idea of it. The Venerable Tsumedho, my last long retreat with him, he spent days talking about the difference between the ideal of an experience and the actual felt sense of it. And I really subscribe to that as well. So the felt sense is the actual physical embodiment. It's the energetic experience. It's what's being directly known, directly known. And my knee is hurting is a whole series of that's my knee and my knee is hurting. And it involves a whole lot of attitude about the it's now the pain's really real, but it's being classified out there somewhere as a story, whereas knee pain is like this is the immediacy of the felt experience. Knee pain is like this. What I have discovered, what the Venerable Tsumedho, Longpo Tsumedho teaches, is in that knee pain is like this, we are more close to the actual experience, and there's a lot less contraction, a lot less clinging by just seeing it as it is. It's the nature of this realm that there's going to be knee pain. Doesn't mean it's only knee pain. Lots of times there's no knee pain. But when there is, there is. It's a direct knowing of the felt sense. It's not based on some view or opinion about it. It's painful. Now, maybe this, we could say, okay, what's the origin of this? That's a very useful exploration of this. But then the actual experience is a direct knowing. Next slide, please. The reason direct knowing has such importance is that insight is a direct felt sense, an intuitive knowing or realization. It's Vipassana gets us into the space where we get it. Ah, that's what they mean. All these years, and I thought they meant this other thing, but this is what they mean. I feel it. I know it. And there's all sorts of stories, including some wonderful Zen stories about that kind of thing. But this is so we are aligning with deep realization when we are aligning, from my view, with felt sense. We're not throwing away the mental recognition at all, but the mental recognition then leads us to being available for the felt sense of an experience. And the felt sense involves parts of the body, including intuition, that might not be so readily available. It's also my experience that sometimes people think, oh, well, I just have mental recognition. But when I listen to them talking, I go, no, that was an intuitive experience. You did not deduct or induct that. You just got it. That was not a mental experience. You felt it. That's how you got that. So just put that in for those of you who think, well, no, you're not giving enough credit to mental. I'm definitely giving credit to the mental, but also to say that sometimes it's you're underestimating yourself. You're failing to recognize. certain qualities. So then next slide, please. So those of you who like lists, so that the inward staying practicing method, these are the preparatory practices, this prep, preliminary preparatory. First, we do the renouncing, judging, comparing, and fixing. Then we, and that includes the best I'm able, but then we're generalizing. We're committing to a meeting life from a best I'm able, which allows us to practice, than having to practice results. It's an attitude and a mind state, and it ties into this humility, this natural humility, this innate dignity, and very, very important, the integrity. Can't leave that out. Otherwise, the ego will get in there and do all sorts of things with humility and dignity. And we're establishing a discerning mind. This discerning mind is very palpable. It's very palpable. I didn't do more today. I may do more tomorrow. It is, how to put it? So when you have to evaluate, you have to assess, you have to make decision, you have to choose this versus that. The discerning mind is not contracting in; it's flowing to meet the experience, and you're going to make the best decision you can make. And you're interested in the felt sense of making the experience, and your motivation is coming from compassion and wisdom, and it leads to more wisdom and compassion. This is a wholesome cycle, as I said last night, and it's very easy to feel that for yourself. But who? I'm not sure that you would be likely to hear someone talk this way. That in terms of that it's so ordinary, it's so regular. It's just regular. We don't establish ourselves in it because we've not had the kind of discipline, someone taking us through the discipline in this way that the natural arising of discerning mind would happen. And we naturally discover wisdom and compassion is there. We naturally discover it. They naturally arise. There's not any, oh, now, so I can have discerning mind. I want to really connect to wisdom and compassion. That's practicing results. You're just staying there with as best you're able without the judging, comparing, and fixing. And this is what shows up. So we're available to see. We're staying interested. And this just shows up. At least that's my experience. Now, if you've never been exposed to the Dhamma, be less likely maybe, but you've been exposed to the Dhamma. And then the arriving sequence, which if we can go to the next slide, please. These are the arriving here and now. This here and now is a felt sense. And so you're here and now. That's how with mindfulness, front and center and all, that gets you into the physicality, the felt sense of here and now. And in that felt sense that is there, you feel present and you feel being present. You're present here, and that builds this sense of presence. Very, very lawful, very lawful. And pretty reliable, even when we're not so doing so well, we can have some degree of it. So that's kind of seems to be universal. And then the feeling of available is a use of wisdom towards that we are noticing. We're being wise in what we notice, what we pay attention to, and how we're relating to it. And that is so with in terms of the five aggregates of a moment. Our perception and our mental impressions are around what happens when we are available. And again, what happens is not something we do. It's what's naturally available when we are available. And the immediate fruit of this is choice. And then the aligning that we have done over and over again, we'll do again tomorrow, is because our minds, if you've done any amount of sitting, you've seen where your mind can go while you're sitting. And certainly in your daily life, you've noticed that. We can go to the most unwise places, the most waste of time places. that's just the mind's capable of all of that. And so that's great fruit of the aspiration in terms of protection. And then the inspiration is that inspiration opens us to more and more subtle level. And so and that ties in with our aspiration of freedom. And by the way, that aspiration towards freedom can be relatively modest. We don't have to have this, I want to be totally free. The more we, whatever level of that works for us as aspiration, it then keeps unfolding. You may be very modest, but then, oh, huh, I seem, I can feel now there's more possibility than I had dreamed of. And so then the aspiration becomes larger because you're directionally aligned. So specifically, the Dhamma is doing you. It keeps unfolding naturally. And then available and aligned, that's where I could feel many of you at various points today in the meditations, particularly in the morning when people had more energy, starting to get concentrated. Right? Some of you got that? You can feel why it would happen. And we just recently did, a few months ago, a samadhi retreat, a concentration retreat, it was so great to see this practice produced for so many people a greater feeling of that samadhi. And then one more slide, please. The four foundations, this is the turning. So if we, all the way to this point, we've been inward staying. We've been turning inward to our inner experience of mind, heart, without being particularly interested in the world. It's not that things didn't come in and out. We heard things, smelled things, tasted things, maybe had thoughts and so forth, but we were not that interested. We were in the staying. And as you got more and more concentrated, there was fewer and fewer of that. And it can be, you can get so concentrated that before you've ever done any what we call regular vipassana, you're already all the way down to a jhana even. Those deep absorptions. And it's just the way the mind naturally is. So, but when we are turning, because we're turning now to do vipassana, because the Buddha is teaching how our way that we relate to what happens to us through this various senses, the way we create mistaken identity and so forth, is where our suffering is. So when we're in that protected state, there's no suffering in that protected state. But then when we go back to our regular daily life, suddenly that's lost because we're not protected anymore in that way. And we learn to perceive our daily experiences without the need to contract over time. We really do that. And so this body, I am emphasizing in this natural awareness that you feel the body. If you're there in the posture of these, all the ways that I talk about being aware of the body comes from the first Satipatthana. There's nothing that's, I've made up in that, but I am suggesting ways you relate to it. And the underlying theme of physical body is that awareness is embodied, that this body, that right here, we can't deny our own awareness capability. The very thing that's inward staying is can be felt in the body. And that changes our experience of really everything from posture to body parts to these body sensations to the elementary nature of the body and to using a dying body, a dead body, and watching it fall apart, as changes all of that in many ways. And then the second foundation, the knowing pleasant and unpleasant, it's called Vedana, and it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant, also is included in that, but not room on the slide. And then third is the discerning mind states with the emotions. And then the fourth is experiencing those dharma. There's a whole list of those, but I named the most important from my point of view of the hindrances and the five aggregates, and then the awakening factors. And the last of these is the Four Noble Truths in that list of that fourth foundation of mindfulness, that establishment of mindfulness is establishing a direct understanding of the Four Noble Truths. So that's slide number 10. And so tomorrow, no, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'm going to stop right here.